what a wonderful story, amen? That's the greatest story of all, the story of how Jesus came in our life, and we experienced grace and love and all the things that the Lord gives us, forgiveness. We're indeed grateful for that this day. I'm so thankful today for this Father's Day, and it's a joy to be able to preach and share. I'm thankful for the fact that my parents raised me up in the ways of God. My dad was a pastor, and back when my dad was a pastor, they didn't pay pastors very much money. He didn't make the type of money I make, and I know the times have changed, but our family grew up. There were five of us children, but all of us were raised with our mom at home with us. She was always there for us, and later in life, she taught at the school the church had. She taught kindergarten at the church there. My parents waited till my youngest brother graduated from high school. At that time, they went into evangelism. My dad had always, I believe, had the gift of evangelism, but God called them to do that. And my mom knew how to fix hamburger 100 different ways. Amen? And we did have that tube steak. It's called bologna, you know. But we always, on Sunday, we would have a roast, potatoes and carrots and green beans. Every Sunday at lunch at the house, we would do that. We rarely went out to eat. I'm sure it's because there were five of us kids, and it's too expensive to take all of us out. I remember on a rare occasion, we'd go eat a hamburger out on a Sunday night, and we would share fries, and we were thankful for that. I tell you what, we were excited when we were able to do that. I'm thankful that my parents taught me a work ethic. I think it's important to parents that we teach our children a work ethic. I remember when I was a young person, we had a garden in Austin when I lived in Austin, Texas, there when I was in elementary school, and we would go in the afternoon in that garden, and we'd work, hoeing, getting those weeds out of that garden, making sure the water was on the garden, and we enjoyed the fruits of that, but we had a great time. My first job, my dad believed in getting me a job. He asked the barber that was in the church there in Austin, Texas, he said, "Do you need a shine boy? Do you need someone to shine shoes?" And he said, "You know what, I've been thinking about buying one of those stands." He bought a stand, and I went to work for him at 25 cents a shine. 25 cents a shine. I would do work. I would ride the city bus from my middle school over to the barber shop in the afternoon after school, and I would shine shoes till 7 o'clock at night. I'd show up on Saturday morning at 7 a.m., and I would shine shoes from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday. I was in the dough, folks, 25 cents a shine. I mean, I got a little bit of money, and I could go across the street, and across the street was one of them old pharmacies where I could buy a hamburger and a old-fashioned malt, and I enjoyed doing that, and they had a pinball machine, and I enjoyed playing that pinball machine. I think I put too many quarters in there. I had to get back and shine some more shoes, but I'm thankful for that work ethic. My church, first church I served, by the way, I only made $40 a week. It was a part-time church, and I took home $32 after taxes. But you know what? God was good to us. God has been good to my parents, and as they have raised us children in the ways of God, I'm thankful for what they taught us. They taught us many, many principles. They taught us how to love people. I remember in 1967, Hurricane Beulah came through Brownsville. Many of you maybe never heard about that. The winds were so high that the meter to measure the wind broke. They couldn't tell. And I was reading about it online this week about Hurricane Beulah, and they said they had sustained winds of 160 miles an hour. It came right across Brownsville. I remember we were all huddled in the kitchen because we had boarded up all the windows and tried to get ready for the hurricane, and every tree in our yard was taken down. But my dad, what we did, as soon as the hurricane came through, he said, "Hey, it's time to minister. And we would go, went into Mexico, and we would take over there as much money as my dad could gather from the church and from different people, and we'd buy masa harina and the beans, and we would take them and hand them out to people, because it literally destroyed the homes in Mexico. They were really shacks, and it would destroy their homes because of the wind. And I remember doing that. I remember my parents, as they would take me on mission trips. We did missions there in Brownsville, started 7 missions over in Matamoros, and also started an orphanage. And that orphanage, by the way, is still very active. They have over 120 children now. And we started, I remember every Christmas Eve, we would be there at the orphanage with the orphan children, and we would enjoy eating tamales. Now, I really enjoyed eating tamales. I love them to today, by the way. And but we'd have a great time. My parents grew us up in the ways of God, and they must have done something right, because I have 3 brothers today that are standing in pulpits like I am, preaching the Word of God. And my sister, she's a preacher's wife. I have 2 of my daughters married to ministers, and I have no idea why they did that. But anyway, I'm thankful for that, by the way. They grew up in a minister's home, and it isn't always easy to be a pastor, because you're not going to please everybody. But my parents, I went with them to Africa. I'm thankful for Brother Ricky and Brother John and Brother Josh going to be able to go to Africa. They started going to Africa and India and made over 70 trips to those. They started churches, and they built churches through their ministry to the Bob Clements Evangelism Association. They would build churches. They would drill wells for water. My church in Carrollton raised the money for a well, and by the way, they named that well. I have a well named after me in Africa somewhere. I don't know where it's located, but it's called the Jerry Clements Well, because we raised the money for that, our church in Carrollton. But I grew up there, and I grew up in missions. I grew up in the ways of God, and I want to say today I'm thankful for godly parents. And I'm thankful that they taught us to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find a passage of scripture that's very familiar. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we find what the Jewish people call the Shema. The Shema was part of their prayers that they would pray each day, by the way. And as they would pray these prayers, they would pray them in the morning and in the evening. And a part of that Shema was this passage of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and following. And they would also pray, and we're going to look at today, Deuteronomy 11, 13 through 21, and Numbers 15, 37 through 41. They would pray these prayers, and they would teach their children. It was a part of the mitzvah. A mitzvah, by the way, was a religious commandment. And they were commanded to pray these prayers to remind them of the focus they should have. And I want to tell you, parents, I believe we need to raise our children up with a focus they ought to have on the Lord. Amen? Because here's what they prayed. Let's look at it together. Beginning in verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. And here it is, the beginning of the Shema, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children, and shalt talk with them when they sit in your house, and when they walk by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. Literally, what they would do is they had these, they'd have a band around their head, and they would have kind of a little box right here on the top of their head. And in that little box was the commandments. And it was to remind them of the commandments. Not only would they have that box that they would remind them of the commandments, and another passage we're going to look at in a minute, they would put a blue ribbon around their garment, around their robe, and that they were to be God's blue ribbon people. And when they looked at that blue ribbon, it was to remind them of the commandments of God. It was to remind them of the fact that the Lord is our God, and we're to follow him. And then look at verse 9, "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." I don't know if you've noticed in recent days, or several years ago, they started doing these scripture pictures. If y'all know those? And I remember Andrew and I, when we got married, the guy who started the scripture pictures was really an architect in Dallas that my dad knew, and he made an original for Andrew and I. It's Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I'll never forget that gift that we got for our wedding, and we have it in our house today to remind us of the fact that we would say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." By the way, they would teach this to their children, and in their evening prayers with their children, you know what? Their children would recite this. As soon as they began to talk, as soon as they began to put words together, the parents would begin to work with them on this Shema. And they would say it in the evening prayers with their children. They were teaching them, not only as they were walking in the way, not only as they get up in the morning, but when they go to bed at night. By the way, parents, we have a responsibility to do that. And if we do that, God will honor us above measure. Then go to Deuteronomy chapter 11, if you please. Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to read just a few verses. It's long, verses 13 through 21. But I just want to give you some of the things he's saying to them. Verse 13. This is a part of the Mishnah that they would say these prayers as they would part of their worship, by the way. And they would read, by the way, these passages when they gathered together for their weekly worship. They would read these passages. It was reminding them of things they needed to know. And they did this over and over again. Verse 13, "And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. And I will give you rain in your land and due season, and the first and latter rain, that mayeth gather the corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass to the fields of the cattle." In other words, what is God saying? He says, if you will remember me, I will take care of you. And by the way, you know what? I am convinced of that. If we remember the Lord, if we put him first, if we honor him with the first fruits of our labor, God is faithful to take care of us. He is Jehovah Yireh, the Lord who provides. And I don't know about you, he's provided for me for many, many years. And look down to verse 18. "Therefore shall you lay these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them on a sign in your hand and on those frontlets between your eyes, and you shall teach them to your children, speaking with them," verse 19, "when thou sittest in thy house, when you walk by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers give thee, and the days of the heaven upon earth. For you shall diligently keep all my commandments and that I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to cleave to him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself." See, this is the promise that God gives. And that was a part of that Shema. It was a part of their prayers that they prayed. And then go back with me to Numbers. That's one book back, if you would, to Numbers chapter 15. I want you to see that if you would. Chapter 15, Numbers 15, verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bind them that they make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue. Here it is. They were God's blue ribbon people. And it shall be unto you for the fringe that you will look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, that you seek not after your own heart or after your own eyes, which you have defiled yourself, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto God. For I am the Lord your God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. All of this was part of that. And I hope you'll write those passages down. And what I hope, I pray that you would teach them to your children. What are we to teach them? Well, first of all, may we teach them that the Lord God is our God. He is God, folks. There's no other God that's greater than our God. There's a lot of gods, little g, that try to promote themselves above our God. And by the way, they are idols. And the Bible says we're to have no idols, graven images before our God. And by the way, the graven images back in that day might have been a statue. It might have been something like that. For our day, let me tell you some of the images we got to watch for. We got to watch for the image of the cell phone. You know, it's amazing to me how many times I go out to eat and I see families of five where all five of them are on their cell phone while they're eating together. And they're not talking to each other. There's no communication anymore with families. I don't know about you, my dad was a busy, busy man, but I want you to know that every time we sat down for the evening meal, he was there. And he was there, sitting there, and teaching us the ways of God and teaching us the importance of being a father. And that was very important. I know my dad prayed for me diligently. My mom prayed for me diligently. And I believe the Bible says in the book of Revelation that God collects our prayers, and those prayers are in heaven, and he collects those. And I believe God is still answering those prayers that my parents prayed for me and prayed for my brothers and my sister. And I want you to know that's very important. But we must remember, folks, the family must remember today that God must be first. He must be first above everything else. And we have a world today that's put everything else first. We live in a world today that cell phone and the computer and these select teams that do basketball and football and all these things that go on. And I want you to know that they have hurt the family. They have destroyed the family. And families are going in five different directions instead of going together. And I want you to know it was a time in our life when the family was together. We're to, he says here, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go back to there. The Lord our God is one Lord. We're to remind ourselves of that. The word Shema means to hear, by the way. He says, hear, O Israel. That was the Hebrew word there. We're to hear what the Lord God says. And I want to tell you, we got to put him first. Do you remember that in the New Testament, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we're to put the Lord first. He ought to be the foundation of your house. And if he is, your house will stand firm. And you will raise children that honor God, that love the church, that love the ways of serving God. And they see you serving and they'll want to serve. They see you loving and they'll want to love. They see you putting God first and they'll want to put God first. Secondly, we need to understand that we're to love the Lord our God. We're to love him. with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Listen to me. Do you realize that when the so-called lawyers and smart people decided they were going to trick Jesus, and they came to him and they said to him, "Give us the greatest commandment, Lord." You remember over in Mark chapter 12, verses 29 through 31, he said, "Listen, I want to tell you the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment," and here's what he does. He shares from Deuteronomy 6. "The greatest commandment is that you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, he's trying to help us understand that we got to teach our children to love the Lord with everything that's within them. And by the way, if you don't love the Lord, they're not going to love the Lord. They ought to see your love for them. They are following you. If you love your wife's husbands, your sons will love their wives. If you love your wives, they will demonstrate before them how the family's supposed to be. I came across this by Dorothy Nolte. Her words that drive home a point, and listen to them. Here's these words. "If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, he learns to have confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. If a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. If a child lives with approval, he learns to be like himself. If a child lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world." In other words, folks, what we teach them, they will follow. And it's so important that we understand that we raise them in the ways of God, that we teach them to love the Lord, understand that the Lord our God is one God, to love him with all of our hearts. And then notice he says to them, listen to what he says here in our text. He says, verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach." You know what that word "teach" in the Hebrew means? It means to indoctrinate. By the way, I've said this before and I will say it again today. Someone will teach your children.
That's right.
Who do you want to teach them? Do you want the world to teach them? Do you want the other students at school to teach them? I don't know about you, I want to teach them. And every one of us ought to say, "I want to teach my children." By the way, your main responsibility is to teach your children. Well, to teach them. Now you say, "What am I supposed to teach them?" They need direction. That word "indoctrinate" means repeat over and over and over. And that word "teach," you teach over and over and over again. And you work with them. I know of parents who have worked with their children and they can say verses in our Awana Club. Isn't it amazing that 3- and 4-year-olds can say verses? That as they get older, they can say more verses. I was challenged as a young boy to say, memorize scripture, and I'm so thankful for that today. In Vacation Bible School, when we went to Vacation Bible School, we learned 20 scriptures a week. Not one a day, we learned 20 in the week. And they were important. My dad would give us a passage of scripture that we were to memorize, and we would memorize that passage of scripture. I'm so thankful for that today. But we're to diligently seek them. The Hebrew word there means to sharpen. It's a command. Parents, we're to sharpen our children. We're to teach them the ways of God. When are we to teach them? All the time. When they lie in their bed, when they get up in the morning, when they walk through their daily routine, and when they lie down at night, we're to teach them. Every one of us parents have that responsibility. And what are we to teach them? I'm going to tell you what we're to teach them. We're to teach them the Word of God. We're to teach them how important this book is. And by the way, you demonstrate to them how important this book is. It ought to be a daily part of our lives. If it's a daily part of our life, it'll be a daily part of our children. We ought to teach them what's right and what's wrong. Amen? We ought to teach them what the Bible says about drugs and alcohol, and we ought to teach them about premarital sex. And we ought to teach them, and I know we're not supposed to use that word, but we need, somebody needs to say that word. Amen? Because we're living in a world today that is saying, hey, anything goes. Whatever you feel, do it. And that's from the 60s, by the way. And it has reaped havoc right here in 2018. We live in a world today that anybody can do whatever they want to do. We ought to teach our children manners. I'm thankful that my parents taught me how to say yes, sir, and no, sir. And yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. When you teach them that, God will bless you. Teach them how to say please and thank you. And then we're to teach them, catch this, the fear of the Lord. Amen? We're to teach them how they're to fear God. And by the way, the fear of God doesn't mean we're afraid of Him and we run away from God. It means we reverence Him. See, here's what's happened in our society. Don't miss this today, church. We have lost all respect for those in authority. That's the reason people are killing police officers. Just this week, two police officers in Kansas lost their life, taking an inmate who had probably committed a couple other murders to court, and apparently he grabbed one of their service revolvers and shot them. Officer who is a man, officer who is a lady, both lost their life this week. And that ought to grieve us, folks. But that ought to tell us where we are as a society. But it ought to tell us we ought to teach our children the ways of God. We ought to teach them to fear and serve God. Look at verse 13, chapter 6. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him, and thou shalt swear by His name. We're to teach our children to fear God and to serve Him. Wow. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We had families like that. Tony Evans, in his book, Kingdom Men, and several of our men have gone through that, and I'm hoping many more of our men. I still challenge every man in this church to get the book, Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar. It's about how men want to finish strong as men of God. My dad gave that to me right before he died. It had a great impact, and I've had some of you that have come up and said, hey, I got that book, and I needed that book. It's for men only. It's a direction to men. Finishing Strong by Steve Farrar, F-A-R-R-A-R, okay? And I believe every man ought to read that book, and every man ought to follow after God. But Tony Evans in Kingdom Men said, here's what we need to do, men. We need to leave yesterday behind. By the way, you know what? We can't live in yesterday's failures, and every one of us, no matter who we are, we're not a perfect parent. I wasn't a perfect father. But see, I can't live in the past. I've got to live in the present. I want to encourage you to do that. Put the past behind you and live in the present, and God will bless you. Seize what God has done for you. Seize your inheritance, he says in the book. An idea of that is it calls for movement. It calls for faith. It calls for us as men who are willing to step out in the water just like Peter did. You say, well, he sunk. Well, I'm going to tell you this much. He didn't stay in the boat. He didn't stay where it was comfortable. He got out on the water. He kept his eyes on the Lord. When he started looking at the waves, that's when he began to sink. But all he had to say is, Lord, help me. And the Lord came and rescued him. And the Lord will rescue you as you step out on the water with God. We need to focus on God. We need to put our focus on Him first and foremost, men. And we need to stay tied to the Word of God. What God says is what really matters. And I'm going to tell you what. If you'll do that, God will not only bless you temporally, God will bless you eternally all the days of your life. As I said, I grew up in a home that we didn't have a lot of stuff. Sometimes I had to wear my brother's clothes. We had hand-me-downs back then. They didn't always fit right, but I'm going to tell you this much. One thing we did have in our home is we had the Lord. And that was the most important. We had love. That was the most important. And my dad and mom spent time with us. Parents, you got to spend time with your children to follow after the Lord. Now today, excuse me, I'm going to close early. But I want to give someone an opportunity today who's never met the Lord, who doesn't know the Heavenly Father, who knows the Lord in their head but not in their heart, an opportunity to come down and take a pastor by the hand and say, "Pastor, I need the Lord." Okay? I need the Lord. I want to invite you to come. There's others here that need to join this church, be a part of this fellowship. I want to invite you to come down today and join this church, be a part of this fellowship on this Father's Day. What a great day to join the church this day that God's given us. I invite you to do that. And then I believe today, maybe we as parents need to take time to reflect. And by the way, it's never too late. I want to tell you that. It's never too late to change directions. To be the father you need to be. To be the mother you need to be. To be the parents you need to be. It's never too late. Don't let the devil tell you it's too late. Because that's a lie from him. It's never too late. Allow God to work in you right where you are today. Allow him to do. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this time you give us today.